Did you invite?
Yes, thanks for helping out with
Her and I are standing in the
the
house. She's like,
same.
you told me. I said, really? And then I said, my husband's somewhere around here. And then he came around the corner.
A lot of your time I see about me and how we suffer.
Yeah, I did use a little marker on there so you can find out. Down my good neighbor to within my last day. It's really intimidating, you know that. That shirt.
Tell me about it.
Don't make it worse.
For you of us.
Yeah. Really, I was thinking us.
Us. Wow, that's
you went to. You guys went to home meeting.
We did, yeah.
I. We thought about it, and I think. Are you guys calling family weekend? Yeah. We're Aaron and Shannon want to go, so I think we're gonna go like weekend. And then we don't have to deal with all the people. Aaron's like, we'll just be able to enjoy.
There was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely they're always so always is hard time in the hotel room.
What's the other?
Oh, the two that we usually stay in is the Red Lion or the one right outside the Jeep line. Yeah. You know, of course, during family weekend. Yeah. No, Maddie said she's seen you guys. I told her to
leave the
I just invited her. I was still with this guy.
That's how it's
been. Inch and a half. Inch and a half.
Yes, it was.
It can be long gone.
Okay, sorry.
Yep. So she wanted to take the Remember how it filled with faith. That's so
able. Yeah, no, right now you're going to see most of
it. Maybe. There you go.
That's one of my favorite. The one thing I gave to you was my register.
I saw Kagan's truck pull up when I was coming back.
I'm glad. You're in the hot seat tonight? Yes.
Right? No. Ben, didn't you even look at me? I should have known you were in town. You left invoices on my desk.
Yes, ma'am. It does like me to turn the air down an notch or two. Are you good? It says it's 73 in there.
It was good.
Okay. How's it up there?
It's warm.
I'm going to turn it down.
That's right.
But it's probably because I'm uncomfortable being up here.
Actually, it comes out of the ceiling, so you'll get it.
Makes sense. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, let's call the meeting to order and reflect. Oh, there it is.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, welcome everybody.
Roll call.
Scott.
Yep.
Tim.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Rob.
Yes.
Ben.
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. Agenda approval. Any changes on the agenda? Are we good to go?
We have two changes to add under new business. One is we have to take action. The department received an assistance to firefighters grant from the federal government. So we need to talk about that and have the board accept that grant.
Okay.
And then the last thing to add is Riffle Ranch signed a contract with us this last month, and they would like to be annexed into the district. So we just need to authorize council to start that process. We need to send out the packet and start that process.
Okay, so Riffle Ranch annexation?
Yep.
Sounds right. That everything?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the
agenda? Motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
It's been moved by Rob, seconded by Ryan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. No presenters. Citizen input. Are there any citizens input at this stage? Okay. Action. Motion to approve September 23rd, 2025 board meeting minutes and the 29th executive session meeting minutes.
On the September. Board minutes. It was noted as no amendments were noted. And then the agenda was approved as amended.
Oh, okay. But we didn't amend the agenda on that, right?
Okay. Well, one of the two.
I will fix that change.
Yeah. Is there anything else you guys, anybody see?
I'll make a motion to approve the September 23rd. Minutes.
Second.
It's been moved by Kim, seconded by Rob. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Old business building expansion timeline up.
We've got to do the just the 49th.
I'm sorry. That wasn't included in all of this. Good catch. Sorry. Thought it was all included.
Make a motion to approve September 29th executive session. Meeting minutes.
Second.
So moved by Ben, seconded by Kim. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Sorry about that. Now old business building expansion timeline update.
Yeah. Well, it's been a week and a half of moving a fire station, which has been a pretty daunting process. I want to thank everybody for helping out with that. The crews have moved into the new portion of the building. So they're occupying that. They're working out of their training room is their living room, or the new training room is the living room and the kitchen and that. So they're working out of that right now. We're still working on a few pieces that are coming in, like to get the workout room set up. There's some miscellaneous punch list stuff and a few things like that. And then all of the admin has moved out of the old admin building, and they have started demolition there to, and we're all down at the old EMS building. So it's a little bit interesting, but it's working out. We've only been down there fully functional since Monday. We're still having to send out reminders of where we are. We're working on getting some banner or something put out there so that we can identify where we are. Right now, it's just the BLM building is how we're describing it, because we still have a few people dropping by the fire station for fire permits and those types of things.
They can't even get in the door, can they, at this point?
No, they can't. they can kind of, you know, if the crews see them in the windows, they helped out, and there's enough people around, even the contractors have helped out a little bit and said where we were. So, you know, so they're getting right to work. They had a half a crew this week, and then next week they're getting their full crew. So they'll be ripping and tearing and getting some stuff done in the next few weeks, because they'll have finished up some jobs. We did not have an updated contractors meeting this week, just because people were, most of the principals were gone, project manager and Stacy. So we will have one next week. But so far, things are progressing really well. There's been a few callbacks here and there on, we had a small little gas leak by our water heater that's been repaired, and then they got the dryers and washers and all that stuff hooked up. So it's moving along.
The wash there, the dryers, that's the new ones we got, correct?
Yeah, the turnout dryers installed. And we have not used it yet, though. But we had new washer and dryers for the upstairs, for the clothing and that stuff. And so those needed to get hooked up by the mechanical contractor. That all got taken care of. I think probably the biggest issue is there's some TVs to mount in the training room. There's flooring that we will do the install on the, in the workout room, and then finishing up the landscape. We've got some of the dirt filled, we've got the sprinkler system done, we got a walkway built. So now it's just kind of finishing up that stuff. The new portion of the building should be pretty much done. So,
okay. Question? All right, thank you. Culver contract.
Culver contract. I've met with Sherry and the new city manager down here in Culver. We've had our first meeting with the new city manager. We're going to continue to meet until my last day. So taking good notes, and we'll need to appoint either a board member or somebody to assist with continuing the negotiations, and I'll have to bring them up to speed on what we're trying to do. But we're still working towards joint ownership of this building, because it's advantageous for both the community and the city and for us. From a grant perspective, ultimately a remodel of this building, seismic upgrade, just making it more comfortable for the people that will be out here in the future. So I'm working with Culver City Management on that, and their attorney, and we're just trying to figure out the best way forward. So we'll have some more planning meetings. Our next one's scheduled for Monday at 3:00.
Okay. Thank you. St. Charles transfers.
Do you want to talk about the RFP, or do you want to bring it up? Have you ready up in your session?
Either one. Want to do this?
We might as well do it now, and then I'll backfill on the transfer.
So it was brought up to our attention from Redmond Fire First, from Chief Miller, who heard about it. But it was confirmed to me this morning when I had a meeting with the transfer center that St. Charles was looking for an RFP to do transfers. When asked, it's not just critical care transfers, but ALS, BLS, all transfers. I asked her about our first right of refusal, and what she said was she didn't think that's going to take any part in it. So basically what it is to, they want a single agency or company to do all their critical care transfers and all the other transfers that our agency, Bryanville or Redmond, are not able to do. I think it has to do with financing, because they are supplementing a Venture Medic sum. I think they're just trying to get a contract out to where they can just have a set fee, is kind of what I was getting from her. The two agencies that are interested in it are Adventure Medics, which is currently doing the transfers that we're not able to do, plus they have a critical care team. And the other is LifeLight. Now, LifeLight has ground transporting agency or units, like at least six throughout the state and other areas. They don't have any ground transport units here, but they're capable of doing that, bringing those resources here and doing that. So that's kind of where that's at. I think we're pretty much protected by ours, just by our ASA contract, by the county, as well as Prineville and Redmond, that the transfers we can do, we'll still be able to do.
Okay, so this is just for transfers that you can't do.
Correct. Okay. That's what we've been told. Now we just hope that that holds true and that somebody doesn't challenge that. They shouldn't be able to, because there's been a lot of past practice there.
It hasn't held up to the ASA, correct?
It did until there. So basically, we have the first right of refusal to say, no, we can't do it either because of call volume, crew fatigue, or it doesn't meet our criteria as far as the level of care that we can necessarily provide. So if we refuse it, then it would go to whoever the next person, next group up would be, which would be Adventure Medics or whoever is this RFP. Mm-hmm. What's interesting though, with this new development, we have a sample agreement for an availability fee for us to take these transfers, which has gone through our lawyer and we have a decision and review on that. But we have not had any conversations with St. Charles of recent with their staff on that availability fee. And so I've reached out and haven't heard anything back yet. So.
And this RFP has been kind of under the radar, and I found out it's part of this because they lost their director of the transfer center. And so Rebecca, who's been my contact, has been kind of covering, and they just now hired a new director for the transfer center. And from what Rebecca's saying, it sounded like they wanted to wait till that person was in play before they start moving forward. So we can start seeing some movement on this in the next few months.
So it's still pending. Not sure what's the next phase. I'm waiting for a call back from the VP that manages the St. Charles Matters and St. Charles Prineville Hospitals to see where we're currently at from now.
Interesting. Okay.
We are still doing a lot of transfers, though. I don't know do you remember how many we've done this week, but I've seen three or so today for the last, seems like 4 or 5 days. So it's adding stress to the system, and it's also adding stress to the crews. So just wanted to bring that up.
Okay. Thank you. You have down here job classification change, and you have recommendation discuss an executive session. Oh, I'm sorry, union negotiations update.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring us up to date and publicly. So, as you know, we've been doing work sessions with the union, and those work sessions have been great. We've been able to kind of work together and work through stuff. I have asked that we suspend those work sessions pending whoever's going to replace myself, and therefore that would suspend negotiations. The one thing that I do have, though, is I have submitted and received feedback from our attorney regarding the labor agreement. And so I will be sending that out via email to the board, or at least for information, so that they can see that. I believe, though, and Andrew, Jeff, you're behind me, but do we need to submit a letter to you, or is it just verbal is okay?
Verbal's fine. If you want to be more formal, you can send an email. That's everything we've gotten back from IFF since we haven't actually broken down work sessions yet.
Okay.
Or it can exist in this meeting.
Right. So it'll be a minute. So just looking for some direction from you, I can send them a formal email so it's documented. You said we could use this, but we just wanted to check and see what that status was.
I think a formal email is probably better just to have.
Yeah. I will draft one, and then I will send it to union leadership, and then you guys, you have it. Okay.
Anything else on that?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, so down to E there, job classification change.
Yeah, I I wanted to get clarification on this. So we have talked about doing some employee job classification changes and kind of revamping the office. And I felt that it was probably in everybody's best interest right now to have a conversation probably during the executive session to talk about duties and that, so that we're not talking specifics about specific people and those types of things. So I wanted to see, I know we have a session scheduled for October 17th. I wanted to see if we wanted to add that or did we want to add another date to move forward. So that's the only reason why I brought that up.
Okay. What were you guys' thoughts on that? You want to try to talk about that on Friday, or would you rather do it another time?
Right, I'm fine with Friday.
It's fine with me.
Friday's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. Can it fall so into the same
to add it to the agenda on Friday? So. Okay. Tim, can you make sure
that it's all good to have an executive session on multiple?
That's what.
Yeah, there's a discussing that subject matter does fall within the purview of an executive session. I'd like to see the notice though. Scott and I talked about that the other day, and we're going to use a perfect A and I. Just let me
reference that real quick. I don't know if that covers that particular piece. Maybe it does. Might need to add another one, but we can do that.
No, I think that would actually fall under A. I think we're safe under subparagraph A.
Okay. We'll make sure we have that. I have the notice here, so I'll make sure it's listed in there.
Okay.
And if we need to add that and repost it, I think we have a little bit of time to do that, as long as we do it by tomorrow morning, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's what we'll do. Strategic plan discussion.
This has been on our agenda for quite some time. There was a draft strategic plan that was sent out. We asked for some input on that, haven't gotten anything back yet. So we just need to decide where that still stands. Don't want to pull it off this agenda until, whoever's going to replace me, or do we start, continue down that path and then present what we have. So I was just looking for some guidance in some of that, just moving forward. Obviously, I think funding is obviously number one thing on that, and that's what has always been that. But there's some other things that we have to do that. And then I was going to bring this up during my chief's thing, but I sent each of you some board policies for review and getting your input. And some places have put those board policies as part of a strategic plan, and especially board education and those types of things. So that kind of fits in this too. So I just wanted to bring that up. My intent is not to have any discussion on the board policies tonight. It's just more to get you primed for next November and have input.
Okay. I don't know where to go with that strategic plan at the moment. We got some other stuff.
It's kind of a long term.
Yeah,
we got more pressing issues that need to be addressed.
So we'll just have that. Is that fine? We'll just remove that from the agenda.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that.
Good.
At some point, but yeah. Okay. EMS MC update.
Yeah, Danielle and I will kind of fill in that. So we continue to meet with EMS MC on a weekly basis. They are processing claims for us. They have taken over Danielle's done a good job of catching up on or working through the stuff that we're responsible for. It's going fairly smooth. There has been one little glitch that they have their version of the clearinghouse, and then they're having to forward that clearinghouse to us and put it on their our TriZetto so that we know what we're getting and what we're getting paid and those types of things. So Danielle, do you want to explain that a little bit?
I mean, that was a pretty good sentence. Essentially, now that they're taking things off Innistrad after I put them in toxicity claim, everything's in queue for them now. Nothing has been processed on their end. They're still waiting. We're still going through the schematics, still going through our things. But when essentially they unplugged us from our clearinghouse and they sort of plugged us back into their clearinghouse, it cuts all communication off from our clearinghouse. So they have to then sort me all the information that I need, including pool. And so they're like, oh, whoops. And so like they're a little bit into that going through, but we figured it out. So then I will just have a delay in information from you guys and stuff that I need to continue to help you with things like that. So
So how long did you like? Yeah,
that's going to be that'll probably. So I will have a lag in seeing some of those reports, and then as it moves through, we'll just have to be diligent and making sure that like these ones are the old ones, these things are for the new ones, and then but it'll be nice because then I'll be able to also still see all that information in the report. But rather than going to my experience house, I now have to go to them to see the things.
So it was kind of a little bump that we didn't really know was going to happen. It's totally doable. It's just, you know, they're working at Danielle spent some time on the phone with them today just to kind of get that all straightened out and how what the workflow is going to be. But so far, feels like it's going to be a good move for us.
Well, I feel like there's going to be something, you know, there's going to be some bugs to be worked out. Maybe there may be more.
Yeah.
If that was the only bug we had to work out, that'd be great. But
what I really like is that, like, when I do bring up something, they're like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, totally. Like, let's figure out a workaround or like, no, like we need to see this on our end or like working on just other things are really easy to work through. And so usually I can get something taken care of within like 5 to 7 days. And so I asked, I was like, well, is that going to be the norm? Because I was like, I kind of need it to be done in like 1 to 2 days. And they're like, okay, we can do that. And I was like, okay, great. I was like, okay, you know, so yeah. And then other things are like, okay, we'll just make sure, like, you make sure you have your priority list of what we need to get done for you and vice versa. So it's been great.
They've been pretty responsive. That's what we really like. And it's been good.
Okay. And we're only not very far into this, right? They took over
So they took over 916, but they haven't actually processed any of those claims yet. So they're going through kind of like we have a great system already built up. So it's kind of almost just like switching softwares. Like we already have everything set for billing. Like we're not necessarily changing our billing strategy. We're just changing who's doing like kind of like the software behind the door, I guess you could say. And so we've already got something really dialed in. And so now they just have to make sure that we're on the same page. So we're like, they're coding how I coded, you know, about an ALS or a BLS or an S&P, and they're making sure with the audits and things. And so we're kind of like in that stage. And then they're taking everything from there. And then eventually we'll start to see the reports and we'll start to see everything. So then we're just making sure that all the software is working smoothly. So then as everything starts to go through down the pipeline, nothing is disconnected in a way. So that's kind of where our stage is at. Okay. And so this is sort of like the longer stage of it, but then they're well automated. So they can literally click a button and then all those claims go within like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, like, they just have that capability because they literally wrote their software for EMS billing. So it just goes so smooth. So, yeah.
But what caught, kind of what caught our eye is we've been, Danielle's been working hard on the past building and getting our stuff taken care of. So there was money out there that, and so far in October, how much money have we brought in this month?
This, she's got.
Right. We have, yeah. So what we found out is we have a certain amount of money that we know that's coming in billing wise. That, so that's kind of, she wasn't seeing that on her, which we should have saw. And so when she got to see that, so that kind of makes sense. Yeah, which is helpful. So we know it's going to hit our bank before it actually hits the bank.
That's nice.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Okay, next thing down here on H is we need to remove Dusty Miller and Chris DuPont from the bank accounts. And then I thought we, well, I guess we already added, didn't we? Or we didn't officially have the minutes.
We added due to they need to see our meeting minute where this motion has been made on both removing and adding you and Betty.
So can we do that all in one motion? Can we add and then remove all
of the motion? Sure.
We don't have to do it separate. Okay. Do we have a motion? I guess it's all listed there.
I motion to remove Dusty Miller and Chris DuPont from the bank accounts and add President Scott Leeper and Director Ben Anderson to our bank accounts.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Kim, seconded by Ryan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. New business. Finance update.
So Crystal's not here today, so she couldn't make it today, so she asked Heather to stand in and do the best we can to fill that.
So to start off with, you guys on your board packets received a whole bunch of reports that you should not have. I mean, you can have them, that's fine, but those are essentially reports that I do for Crystal and I to work on that financial dashboard together. So I sent everything to her and then so forth. She forwarded it to Danielle and Danielle sent it to everybody.
I actually like seeing these.
I wanted to tell you that, you know, sorry about the inundation, but if there is a report there that you saw that you liked, you know, let us know and we can make that something that we add to the return, because those are all quick reports. They're 30 seconds to pull them up and print them out for you. But those are the tools that we've been using to make that financial dashboard. For expenses, I am expecting with the cash we have on hand between our general checking and the LGIP general fund, and the cash flow that Danielle is expecting for October has already been billed, the $70,000.
So the $70,000, I got like $30,000 of the check sitting on my desk that's being deposited. And then I just ran some simple spikes. And so those should be hitting the bank momentarily. So as of today for October, it's $70,000.
So with those items, the cash flow we have in our hand, you know, what we have on hand now, we will be able to make payroll for November and our expenses that I'm going to be doing this next week as well. And then, of course, the first week in November, the new tax rolls start rolling in. We are also got notified that State of Oregon got paid the their portion for the California fire. And so our portion of that was $120,000 that we're supposed to be expecting soon.
Yeah, within 2 weeks.
So that will help definitely bridge to get us clear through November, all of November's payrolls and the bills right on the money in time for the new taxes to roll. So not sure what Crystal usually reports on. Let me, you know, do you have a question? Is there something you'd like? Because the majority of these reports, you know, her and I are working together, putting them together for the month. So if there's something that you want to add, please don't hesitate to ask now or even later in an email, and we can make sure that is added each month.
I have a question.
Sure.
On the PERS adjustment, there's two PERS adjustments, one for $45,017, and then there's another one for $30,000.
Yep.
That was the extra.
Yes, we had an extra, so... Let me explain. They adjusted. They went clear back from the time we merged and adjusted our rate on certain people. I
recall that, but and, it seemed like that came up all. It was like 70,000 or something. It seems like we saw that already like 2 months ago. But it did
now those were small ones that you see on individual employees that they go throughout the year when they audit their records. And okay. I know they were just working on that a couple months ago. Those were small ones. This was a larger scale, the PERS adjustment.
This was the one that Crystal talked about two or three meetings ago, about that we would, they had finally gotten through all of their backlog. We had paid a bulk of that. And then they had reran all their numbers and got it. And then that was the last bit of the backers that we had to pay.
Okay, so that wasn't paid at that point yet.
Correct. That was paid. And this is September's bill.
Yes.
So that's what that is.
Okay.
Yeah. And so next month, essentially, you should see just the one PERS, other than little tiny ones. She's, you know, they audit periodically and they ask me questions of a matter of $100 difference on hours or this or that. But
so is it common for them to do small adjustments every month? Like you send whatever in and then they come back to you and say,
yes, they do sometimes. They're not many, they're small.
Okay.
One of them, like right now that I have sitting there that I need to get back with them, is an EMS employee that never even came to us. But because we merged EMSs with ours, they're still coming to us for answers. So that will be an item that we won't pay for.
Okay.
But certain people, to get them corrected, say in their vacation hours or their all their hours, they will occasionally, you'll see a little one. $100, $105.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So we should be even with them.
Yes, we are. We are even. And just to give you a little snapshot, for September's hours, October's paid, the PERS is $32,514. And that's, okay. I mean, and we're pretty close in alignment, finally matching with them, if not. So. Okay.
All right.
One thing I wanted to call out, I don't know if you noticed that you did notice that we saw better than, at least it was an increase in our EMS user fees for September, and based on, knock on wood, we're hoping to see even more in October. So we're trending in the right direction, at least now. Not to get too excited, but just making sure that all that is left to go yet. Yeah. We also, Heather had to finish a safe audit. Had a safe audit this last
Friday.
We're getting $7,000 back from safe, which is kind of nice, which is really nice. And then the one thing I also want to stress is that when we redid our PERS stuff and got through this, that our PERS rate actually has gone down to from now on. So it's less than what it was prior to the issues. So just wanted to make sure that was captured in this. We have received, and I don't have the total, I'm not sure if you have, but we have received multiple, some seismic money, and we still have two more reimbursements. One, I just got a notification on pending, and then I got another one to send in. So that will replenish some of the bond proceeds that we have out there. So all told,
there's been quite a bit that has been.
Yeah.
But Crystal wanted to remove it. I've got just July, $1,055,000 through September 30th that we've taken in. So finally, you got.
Yeah, now I've got some other stuff, notifications on. It's just, it takes the state, it has to go through their Business Oregon. Business Oregon has to go through with the fine tooth comb, then they approve it, then they submit it for reimbursement, and then it takes 2 weeks to a month to have it go through the state. And then when they release it is when I get a notification. So we'll have to change some of that stuff. But my hope is that we'll be we'll have the seismic portion of the building pretty much completed and done, and have our final closeout before I leave on the end is the goal, or the end of November. So,
okay.
So that the only thing that would have to be is just that last bit of money that's going to come.
She was, I think she was worried about putting it on there because it showed $1,055,000 received, but it only showed expensed $505,000. But that's due to this was a July through September 30th. You know, they didn't count for clear back when we were doing seismic things and paying those out last fiscal year. So.
Okay. Is that me? Questions for Heather? I don't know. You have ones I have.
That's fine. Like I said, this, I mean, if there's something I'm not telling you that you're used to hearing, but you know.
So. Well, I think Kim says she likes getting all of the reports.
Well, at least the budget versus actual. I don't know. And like, see, it just clear to me, and I like seeing that. Okay, these numbers are. Mm-hmm.
Are you wanting just the current year then in the board meetings? Okay,
that's for me. Like,
yes, that's fine. That's easy.
Like, just like, I didn't see this. Like, yeah, just like the totals. Yeah,
for, sure. Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. I got to find my number. Oh. We good? We move on, or you guys?
Yep.
Okay, so we're down to C, which would be motion to approve bills for September.
I'll make a motion to approve and pay September bills.
Yeah. Second. Yeah, second. Okay. It's been moved by Ben, seconded by Ryan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Down here, please. So, annexation.
Yeah, so I'm going to pass a few things out. Just this is demonstration wise, but this is some documentation that I wanted to start talking to you about. If you can go on, Ryan. About Senate Bill 1068, which was passed by the Oregon State Legislature in 2023. This allows fire districts or fire departments to annex property within 7 miles of the fire department. And we talked about this a while back, and this is actually samples from the department that has started that process. The department that I've been working with and pretty familiar with. And what it basically, what we need to do is, as part of this process, is we identify the boundaries within 7 miles of the fire station, and then all the properties that could potentially be annexed by that, by within that 7 miles. And it's 7 road miles. So we have a map, then we take all those properties and we pick out all of the landowners that have property within there, and then we send them basically a letter like that that states that, you know, that's similar, that reads that, hey, through Senate Bill 1068, this became the ability to annex property within the fire district. It doesn't necessarily force people into doing it in the matter of that they have to do it. However, they do have to make a choice, and that choice is, you know, do they, if they choose not to get into the district, then they, if we had a fire at their residence, then they could pay upwards of 3 times the amount of whatever our regular rate would be. So for our mobilization rate, so like the Cramp Fire, for instance, if that was that cram fire was a single brush fire on a single piece of property, then we would use the Oregon State, the current Oregon State mobilization plan, and identify our personnel cost plus our vehicle cost, and then we would issue that homeowner or the homeowner's insurance company a bill for that amount. So for instance, if it was 5,000, then we would, you know, multiply by that 3, and then that's what they'd be paying if they weren't under the tax or the annexation. So it's a form of forced annexation, if you will, with a caveat that, you know, if you choose not to, they still have the right to choose not to. There's been about 3 or 4 fire districts within the state of Oregon that have taken on this. And it was something that went through the state legislature 3 times. And then this is the final. It was Douglas County that actually put this forth. So the reason I have this is it's a stage process. Is we have to identify the properties, then we got to send the letters out. We also have to notify our neighboring fire districts that we intend to annex this property just in case of any of that property is subject to, and we have to get approval. So we would have to get approval from Crooked River Ranch. We'd have to probably get approval from Warm Springs and others in order to make this happen. So I just wanted to bring this forward to see if it's something. I know it's something that we've been talking about for a while. The catch is if we're going to move forward on this, we have to have the process done by March 31st in order to make it on the next tax rolls. So it's something that we can start now, and then Casey or whomever, you know, the department would have to continue through this process and get the notifications out and do all that. So
how many properties? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. Well,
properties?
We don't
yet.
We don't know exactly yet. We have the idea on the, we have the map mapped out on what it would do, the boundaries. Now we got to go in and bring in the properties exactly. That's what we're working on right now, is getting the exact properties on there. It also, and the other thing that this includes is then it would also include the utility fees too that are included in that. So it would bring any utilities that are within the district. So power, gas, that would also have to be annexed in. So there's a certain thing the DOR figures out on what that's right. Like they have a per line mile or per pipe mile or whatever, an assessment for utilities. So that would also be included. It's worth it because it is some money, but we don't know exactly how much, and we won't know exactly how much because, well, we can figure out the real property pieces, the assessed value on the real property. The catch will be, we won't exactly know how much on utilities, because that's what DOR has to figure out, Department of Revenue, when that comes, once it's finalized.
So the utilities is through, not through the landowner, but through the utility company?
Mm-hmm. So like, you know, PPNL pays a tax rate, Central Electric pays a tax rate, PGE pays a tax rate, Cascade Natural Gas pays a tax rate too, through the district. And so that's all factored in as part of our traditional tax piece. Wow. And so the county gets Sal reports basically, and it describes each pieces of those. So we can get a rough idea, but we just got all that. I can forward those there. We got them this week. There's about 5 pages or 5 documents with about 4 to 5 pages of legalese and numbers to sign that tax. It's not something that we have to act on. I just wanted to share that this has been a process of getting to this point, because not very many departments have done it. And we finally got a department that is in the process that actually has the templates and those types of things to do it. So I just kind of wanted to share some of that. And
Why aren't any other departments, you think, not doing it?
Just because it has been cumbersome, and some are choosing, you know, some already have a adequate or above adequate permanent tax rate. They're not like us that has a very low one. And so that's the other reason why. Then there's also, this is, you know, there is a political hit to this too, to do this. I mean, there are probably going to be people that don't want to be in the district. And like I said, they still have the choice to not be in the district. But if we respond and we're asked to put their fire out, then somebody's going to be paying that bigger bill, as they should, because they're not paying for the service. I mean, that's kind of what we ran into with the Cram Fire. We expended a tremendous amount of money on the Cram Fire. And we're not going to get reimbursed from all of it. The only way we would get reimbursed from it is if we billed the county for our response, because it was outside the fire district. We will get a certain portion of that because the Conflagration Act was put into play. So we'll get, you know, the rest of the fire that we were on there from 3 o'clock the second day on. But everything that we did in the beginning and during that first day until 3 o'clock we will not be getting reimbursed for, unless we bill either Central Electric or whomever caused the fire, and or the county, because they had the delegation of authority. They gave the delegation of authority for us to work that fire. So, you know, you can see it both ways, and that's where, before we move anything, and like I said, we don't have to make a decision on this. I'm just giving you the timelines if we want it to work out. So it's something for you guys to kind of mull over and think about, and decide how you want to move forward to this. We are doing those, we are protecting that property, because nobody knows the difference. When 911 calls, the only people that know whether it's in district or out district is us and the dispatchers.
Yeah.
And so, and we're also, there's a certain part that we're going to respond, because that's the right thing to do for number one. But the other piece to that is, you know, we're also protecting our district residents too, especially in a wildfire situation, if it's coming towards the district. So that's a little bit of preventative side of things.
Well, this is helpful. I like seeing.
Yeah, I just wanted some live examples now, yeah, so that at least you can see how what the approach is and what it means and those types of things.
It almost seems like it would be, yeah, I don't know if we did see this, like kind of an intermediate one even before this, but just
there is the possibility that we simply asked, you know, is there people that just want to be annexed into the district?
But just so they're even, I mean, because I there's probably, I mean, a large portion of them, no idea.
Yeah.
And just to not be, I don't know. It's,
yeah. Yeah. And I'm just simply, you know, we've been talking about it. We finally got some examples, and I just wanted to bring them forward so that you guys are aware, and then you can decide which is the appropriate move. Then the department or the district can support that moving forward. Is that, you know, doing a voluntary, and then based on that and decide where we go.
This says you can bill up to three times. What's the current rate? Like if you went to a fire that was out of the district, what would you bill?
Well, for instance, a fire truck is $100 an hour. Type one engine is $100 an hour, 150. Remember what it is?
It's right.
Yeah, it's right in there. And then what it comes is, then it's our rates for our personnel. So whatever our hourly rates, and then are they on overtime, or are they on regular time? So it's really hard to put that number in play. But
currently it's like 1-to-1. And if you send them this letter and they chose not to, then you would go that 1-to-1 times three, essentially.
Well, yeah, it's there. So for instance, we have properties that we only get $65 in tax money. We've gone out and fought fire out there twice. And so, you know, we are operating at a deficit, but right, those people pay their taxes, and that's what they get. So the bottom line is it's not really 1-for-1. It's based on whatever their assessed value is. If they're annexed into the district, then we've when we do this, then it actually could be far less. It's just taking the chance of
it's a roll of the dice.
Rolling the dice on that. So I mean, the reality is if you know there might be some people that we would just get $500 a year, and at one fire, it's going to pay for itself. Now that same person, if they're not in a district and their assessed values, then it's whatever our actual costs are times, because we're still going to, if they're out of the district and we respond, we still have the option to bill for it. It's just at a lower rate.
Do we do that now? Like if you go on a house fire, or 7 miles out of town,
we try not to. I mean, there, that's that fine line in decisions that we have to make. You know, how much it everything's dependent on what kind of situations we have here. What's the threat? What is the threat to the district? What's the threat to individuals? What's the threat? If it's a life-saving thing where somebody's trapped, yeah, we're going to definitely go. But if we're, even then, we went out and fought a fire up in a few years ago, were we in Fossil or something? Rick, you were on that one.
Yeah.
That was a mutual aid. It was a mutual aid, but again, that's still something that we could have built for, yes. So the answer is it's kind of hit or miss right now. I mean, if it was close to town and just outside the district, then yeah, we would go and then we would try and bill for it. It's no different than us trying to bill for motor vehicle crashes on the highway or those types of things. Is the people that aren't paying the taxes but are still using the service, that's what we want to do. And that's kind of what's happened with the flat fire. That's what's happened with the Cram fire this year. It's, you know, our taxpayers are bearing the brunt of our responses out there. And at that same time, we're losing resources. And you know, the interfacility transfers of non-district residents, the only difference there is we get to collect from Medicare or Medicaid or whatever their insurance company is from that. So they're actually are contributing to that. It's just another version of responding outside of the district.
Okay. So I think about there.
Yeah.
When you're talking district lines, district, where are they? I mean, if you took a farmer out on the rim, that's more than 7 miles from town.
Well, that it's out. It's outside of, yeah. It's 7 miles from the fire, from a fire station outside of the district boundaries.
So the pool draw from this small.
Right.
Where does it start at fire station?
It's the station.
So in other words, if you're in Cheesetalk, say about Gateway, you're already more than 7 miles from
right.
Yeah.
So this would
this wouldn't affect Gateway, right? But it would affect west of town or
Tom Norton, who's not in the district, would be affected.
Correct.
Because he's not 7 miles.
Same thing with places.
So why don't you guys just take up the station of Madison Boulder, do a 7 mile bits of road, just do a few estimates so you kind of get an idea.
That's what we did. We have a map of that. Now we just have to get the properties within that.
Then worry about the utilities later, just kind of see what that.
So, yeah, we already have a map of the where this does. It's just there's been some changes at the GIS department for the county. So it's getting the follow up to that, which we've asked for, has been the harder.
Well, we'll talk about that. We should talk about that again next month, I think. Board policies, you kind of touched on that.
I asked again, I sent you guys some different formats, different versions to look at. It's all over the board. Some departments have 5 board policies, some have 10, some have a handbook, like I pointed out. Some even have 25. So it's just kind of figuring out what's the best thing that covers the most of what we need. All of that information that I did get you is from SDAO. And then I kind of went through and did the first draft of altering it to make it fit us. But there are some things that are highlighted in yellow. There are decisions that you're going to have to make because it will put some more responsibility on the board members as far as education and those types of things too. So I just take a look at those, and then I just ask that just to make sure we're not breaking any laws, is to make sure that you're, any feedback that you're giving, just give it individually, and don't apply it all to these.
So the first attachment, like one is a sample of like a whole a handbook.
The whole handbook, yeah.
And the other ones are just...
are just individual policies. Some departments just have that. They have like 10 individual policies. Some have the handbook version that's like 20 pages that covers a bulk of that. And then we have the luxury of adding and putting other stuff in that's needed.
Okay. Thank you for putting that together. Anyway, let me start to that. Fire ops.
Yeah, so I'll start off with the monthly report. There's a couple items I like to hit on this. We had 355 incidents last month. If you can see the blue and the increase in call volume compared to this time last year. Right now, we're at 313 more calls at this time last year. So we're looking real close to that 3,800 call, by the end of this year as we keep tracking. So, which is a significant increase in calls for the year. The other thing to note is right below that is the unit utilization hours, the 29.87% for 1771. The reason for that is that unit is typically the first on the ship change. And so when they do get a transfer, it went on, I think, 39 of 52 transfers. So that is something for us to kind of keep an eye on as, 71 continues the same line, checking the miles and everything else. And then we can swap the ambulance. So then 73 would be the first to go. So. But that is why that one's higher this month, because of those hours, doing those transfers from here to Redmond or here to Bend. So everything else on the report is a standard. Sorry, I didn't get this to you prior to the meeting, but do you have any questions on this report? I know we've talked about this before, but on the second page, when we kind of break up the stations, two stations, and then the transfers and pulling that out there, you can really kind of see the percentage in calls for each station.
Seems like there used to be more calls out at a Culver years ago. 6-7 years ago, maybe not long, but
they're actually up. It's just that they're washed out with the rest of our volume.
Okay,
so Culver is, they consistently ran, because they would go on medicals here, and the Madras station wouldn't go on medicals. So the Culver station pre-merge ran a higher percentage of the total volume. So Culver ran the same about, which was like, so yeah, 50, it's about 10%. So it's Culver ran about 300,
yeah.
But Madras station, we only ran 1,000 total of the district. We're now, Florida station would still be running about 300, and we run 3,500 as a district.
Yeah, but it does seem like it's gone up a little bit, but the last, right before we merged, the fire district ran 1,000 calls, about 1,000 calls. So we don't want to do this.
Okay, that makes sense. Never thought of it that way.
Because everything kind of fit. So,
yes.
Okay. So, the chief mentioned kind of at the beginning of the meeting of adding to the agenda in regards to the AFG grant. I believe everyone has a letter, an award letter, to kind of talks about some of the details of that. And I don't know, dude. I missed it. I had to leave for a little bit. I'm informally.
No, we're doing it again. Okay.
Okay. So I want to say that I had some wonderful help from Melody and Andrew on writing this grant. Melody really does some great narrative work, and we were successful in a partial successful, but very successful in this grant. This AFG grant for the $211,428.57 is going to help fund at least 15 sets of full sets of turnouts for our folks, and then also around 15 SCBA, which is our breathing apparatus that we wear on our backs, masks, and we're going to hopefully get better communication with those masks. And so this grant is going to help pay for that, which is a huge, I mean, as you can see what the cost is, it's a huge help for our district. We did apply for the dryer. We did apply for, we've talked about this previously before about we applied for the dryer. We applied for a washer. We were unsuccessful in that, but we were successful in this piece. So, as you can see, the district has a match to this. And so we have to match by paying $10,571.42. So my recommendation to the board is that if we can move forward with this.
We wouldn't be able to pay that out. Seats.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yes. Anything else you want to add on that?
Not on that, no.
Okay.
The only thing we will need is we'll need a formal
motion.
Yeah. Accepted, so
then. Mm-hmm. We don't need that right here.
Yes.
I mean, we don't need to add another thing to that. No. So we can just have
not a necessary. Motion. How's the time?
We can accept a motion to accept this grant, the motion to be that. I don't know what. What grant?
This is for a.
What do you want to name it?
Assistant to Firefighters Grant?
Yep.
I'll make a motion to accept the 2024 Assistant to Firefighters Grant funding opportunity for $211,428.57.
So, yeah. It's been moved by Ryan and second by Ben. All those in favor say aye.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
All those opposed? The motion passes. Good job on that grant, by the way, to everybody.
It's, yes. Yeah, it's a good team effort to get that. We do have another grant out right now for a safer grant through FEMA for personnel. We have not been notified one way or the other yet. This comes out first, and then afterwards to say if it will. So we hope to hear back sometime. I did mention, I think, last meeting in regards to the OEM Spire grant. And we received a UTV, or we're going to receive another UTV and some extrication tools. I did get an email today that I have a meeting next week to meet with them in regards to the rescue tools. Thankfully, it is the same exact rescue tools that we use currently. And so I'm excited for that. So we'll have a Zoom meeting next week. I don't know what it entails, but that's they asked for to do a Zoom meeting, and we'll be doing a meeting with C Western, who is the dealer for that. And so we'll be having a conversation on guessing the equipment that we can be receiving. So
we don't know on that one yet, though, right?
We received this grant. We've right. been notified that we got it. I just don't know what next week's meeting will okay. be in regards to. And I also don't know, you know, the exact make and model of the UTV that they're going to, it's all state spec. Right, they're doing all of that. So, and this is no cost to the district. This is all from the state to us. So, okay. All we have to do is the logistics of housing it, maintaining it.
Okay.
In regards to just ops right now, you know, the chief hit it earlier that there has been a ton of moving, the line staff and and quite a few of us have been just moving all of the offices, whether some of it goes into the bays and some of it goes down to EMS. And so really the last couple weeks have been hammering that. And I think the chief already mentioned that where line staff is and admin staff, so I'll just kind of skip that part. We did make the office hours down there for the admin. Did you get that too already? Yeah. Monday through Friday, 10 to 2 during this transition or during this temporary move right now. If you know there's complaints of those times, we can look at making changes to that. But really, it was just to, with this office down there, allowing, we have one of our employees coming back part-time now, and so just trying to make sure we can cover everything. And then what Danielle's been trying to do with EMS, EMC, and the Chief Lake has been asking her. So that was kind of what we went with right now. Something else to add to the construction piece, the Chief is we're moving forward with the exhaust bays, the exhaust systems in our bays, working towards that. I think hopefully in December of trying to schedule.
December they'll be ordered. We don't know exactly when they're going to go in. We have to complete the seismic stuff first. And there's some engineer of record stuff that we're trying to make sure that we don't break and things like that. So the order will be placed in for sometime, literally sometime in December. And then we're still looking at the installation. But by then, all the seismic money will, the plan is to have all of the seismic completed, the last reimbursement done, the closeout, then have them come in, because then the bond proceeds will be replenished. Just to add on, I was going to bring it up in my chief's report, but the $1.9 million that we got from the capital funding request that we worked on, we have filled out all of the paperwork for that. We got notified over the last month that there was a few items that I needed to fill out, sign, and take care of, build in. And then I had to kind of redo the budget with that, provide that to them. So that's all in. We don't know when we're going to get it yet, but it's all in. And we're just waiting for them to come back to us with what they have there. So, so there's that. That other piece of funding there. So we're kind of slow playing this as much as we can, but we also don't want to not order them at least the equipment, because if we order it after January, then we're paying 5 to 8% more for the same system. So the bottom line is they will do, the people that we ordered from it will do the install. It's just we want to get the equipment here so that we're not paying more than we have to. So.
We can handle the California stuff too.
We already did while you were out. We just brought it up in the finance section.
Okay.
So.
And then just under some prevention items, I've been working with Tim Gordon a bunch. We've been hammering out a ton of business license inspections and existing facility inspections, installing quite a few addresses, just some of our Knox boxes, which is, we have a special key that we can get in to get into a building. Been trying to upgrade a lot of that stuff, whether it be East Cascade, or I was just at the homeless shelter this morning adding keys into those boxes. So if there's an event we need to get in, we don't have to necessarily break a window to get in. We can use the key. So we got a station tour with Culver Elementary coming by here next week for about 41 kids. And then just one little... back in August, Gabe Solis from the county put out a notice to all of us in regards to a free finance class. So I signed up and in the process of taking a public finance class on a cashier and supervisor. Working on that right now. It's this week. So that's in the report for me.
Okay. Any questions for Folsy? Yeah. Right. EMS report.
Well, I know how much you all love reading my newsletter, so I don't want to take too much from it. Well, I'll touch on a few points. The balance billing thing that's going through, we're having supposed to have a RAC meeting that comes up to discuss what our future plans on that. It keeps getting pushed back. I think the next meeting is September 23rd. But essentially on there, some of the points that were coming out were there was concern about other states where this has been implemented and then the insurances choose that they don't want to pay. And so there was some kind of concerns about how we're going to hold those insurance companies accountable. So that was part of the discussion. And then and in response, the insurance also was concerned about if they do an overpayment, how are they going to get that money back, what the time frame is on that. We all think that 30, 90 days is good because especially those of us who are a district, we have a board that we have to go through to have approve those payments. And they seem to think 30 days is plenty. And so that will be discussed. Another part that came up through fire districts and Chief Blake was part of the made that comment was there's also needs to be definition between in-district and out-of-district fees on there. So more to come on that. Training, we've had a really exciting, we've seen an increase of assaults on our staffing. So we wanted to make sure we had something to provide them to keep them safe. So we put together a day of crisis negotiation, so to speak, and then restraints, how to apply restraints, and then defensive tactics. And the sheriff's office played a big part in that, teaching two of those three classes, and I think it was pretty well received. And it also helped. I mean, we already have a great relationship with the sheriff's office, as you can tell by the, seems like we're always competing with them about fundraisers and stuff. But this was also really great because it our people play well together, but now we train well together. And in the end, it also showed some spots where we can improve on our policies and procedures sort of thing. And it was really cool in there. For a small agency that seems to be struggling, we seem to have really good equipment. And we've been finding ways to find funding for that. And the latest that we put out there was our CMAX. And our CMAX are video laryngoscopes. And we have really good video laryngoscopes. They're right up there in the top line. These ones that we have, they have a bigger screen than we've had before. And what really makes these cool compared to the last ones is they automatically record once they're put in play. And so our crews are able to take those and put them into their charts. These are great for two reasons. One, we can utilize those for training. And also they can be great for liability. So somebody tries to say, hey, you put that tube in the wrong spot. You can say, look at this video. That got put in the right spot. Interesting enough, I didn't know it was used right away when it did until Dr. Welly called me up and says, did you see that video? And I'm like, what video? And he's all excited because it was already put in on our system and in our report. So I think our crews are putting to the appropriate use and doing good, great things with those. Those are paid for with opioid settlement dollars. I told him that, you know, because these dollars have to be spent towards people who are affected by drug abuse. And I said, well, those who abuse drugs oftentimes need a good airway, a secure airway, and that's how I got money towards that. And our next payout that we're getting from there is going to be towards, actually put that some of that towards a Lucas, which is a machine that does CPR, has a big piston that, you know, pumps on the chest. So we bought one of those for a third out ambulance. And then the next set of dollars we're getting that we're going to put an AED on 41, which is our Type 3 engine, because, you know, people who overdose, we've often do CPR on, and sometimes they need to be shocked. So I'm getting really creative and saying how all these things lead towards drugs, or not towards drugs, but I have three people on drugs. So those are kind of cool. Ekins, if I haven't dropped that word before, Ekins stands for East of the Cascade EMS. It's a group of agencies here in Central Oregon that we share protocols, we share ideas, we share all kinds of cool things. It gives us a bigger voice to yell at OHA. In discussion, our MCI, or Mass Casualties, is a plan for the area or for this region. It's kind of outdated. And we had some discussion on who's going to take that on, and Ekins has agreed to take responsibility for that. So the next 3 months, we're going to be addressing that. And it'll affect, you may have noticed that oftentimes things are Deschutes County-centric or Bend-centric. And so when we're talking about the plan, we came up with some topics. And like, yeah, that's great for Bend, but not so great for Prineville and Madras. And so those things will be addressed. So we'll still have a good MCI plan that has a good foundation that affects everybody, but there'll be some nuances that are tweaked a little differently when you're in that big, busy hub or if you're on the surrounding areas or less. And finally, if you may have seen this, part of our great relationship with the sheriff's office is when it came down to me finally to see if I would I agreed to be the representative for Jefferson County Fire and EMS for this Real Men Wear Pink. Sheriff's office thought it'd be a great idea to throw my son, who's a corporal in the jail, to go up against me. So it's a family affair this time in this competition. So please ignore the sheriff's office and hit that QR code. Donate to us at Team Fire and EMS. So, and by the way, hey, Central Oregon Daily News thought that was kind of a cool idea, having the father versus son. So we were both interviewed today by them. And you missed it. It was on the news at 5 o'clock today, but you can catch it on the website.
Okay,
thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, Chief's report.
Yeah, we need to go back just a little bit. We've got the annexation agreement for the Riffel Ranch that we can just kind of put on this. Pass these out. So, as part of the annexation process, this group is a nonprofit that does hunting excursions and trips for war veterans, combat people, people that have suffered traumatic stress events and those types of things. They have property that is on the west side of the Warm Springs Grade that is not currently in the district. It is outside the district. They approached me earlier this year and they wanted a contract for fire protection for that. So what you have in front of you is the sample. I have the signed contract and all my boxed paperwork from the office. So, but this is basically, they've signed this agreement. And at the same time they signed this agreement, they also wish to annex into the fire district. And I told them that that takes some time. There's forms that have to be filled out and then it has to go through our board of directors and they have to make the approval. Then it needs to go to the county. Our attorney needs to review it and all that kind of good stuff. So what I would like to do tonight is I just wanted to show you. So what you see there, that is what they will pay us annually under the contract, which is the same amount that we will collect as part of the annexation. It's a large property. It does have some farm referral on it. So we're not getting the full value of that, but that price that they paid us for this includes not only the property value, the assessed value, but also the bond value. So they're paying in the bond too. So we should be getting a check from them here anytime on that. They're in the fire district as a contract. They just want to annex. So what we need from you today, and Tim can explain this, but I think just permission for Tim and I and the district to continue to work with them on the annexation, get the paperwork out. And then at some other point, once the paperwork's done, we'll have all the maps, we'll have all the paperwork, and then you guys will have to approve the annexation. And from there, then it'll go to the county and the county commissioners will have to approve.
So all you're needing tonight from us is, we don't need a motion necessarily, or you just need...
I'm going to turn that over to our attorney to make sure we need to motion this, or can we just...
I think a motion wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
Just a motion by the board to approve Chief and myself to work with the Riffle on preparing their application for annexation. And it will go before the board at a later time for an actual approval.
Approve the whole thing. Yeah. Okay. So we just need an approval to move forward with it.
It's been a good couple of years since we did any annexation of property. But I've got a file back in my office and there's an application there. And usually the applicant needs a little bit of assistance getting that properly completed. And then we get it approved by the board. We send it over to the county. They approve it and then they adjust their maps accordingly.
You guys are okay with moving forward on this? I think that there's any negative to it.
I'll make a motion to move forward on the annexation of the Riffle Camp property.
Second. Second. Okay. Been moved by Kim, second by Ben. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. Just a couple things to finish up. We have signed our contract with Nightshade Solutions, which is the MVA villain company. We are waiting and setting up a meeting just to do the finalize and get the indoctrination of how they want us to work through the billing process. We actually have a couple of bills that we're going to send forward. The crews and the district had to spend a lot of time recently on some calls. One was a motor vehicle that was put over the edge off Park Lane, and that required some search and rescue assistance and that. So we have the insurance information. So as we build out, we'll build that, and that'll be one of our first, as well as other MBAs that we have to go through. So so we're getting to work on that. I'm just bringing you up to date on that. I think last meeting I mentioned that Rep Greg Smith was here in town and he toured the facility, and we did a little kind of EMS funding 101 with him. And he wanted a class, he wanted a more in-depth discussion. Well, about a week ago, we had that discussion with him and his staff. Included in that were nine other fire chiefs from his region or the Eastern Oregon area, as well as members of the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association. And included in that were representatives from Senator McClain's office and Representative Breeze Iverson's office. And we explained to them that what we're experiencing here with the cost of doing business is the same thing throughout all of the rural areas of the state of Oregon. And we got all three of them to have a clear understanding of the things that we're facing. These large ambulance service areas with not a lot of money to go service them. Everything that we've talked about over the last month, couple years. The good news is Representative Smith has agreed to, so we're in a short session, this next session. So each representative only has two bills that they can bring forward. And Representative Smith is going to hold one of those bills for some sort of solution that can be real and doable. So that's the key term, something that we can at least introduce or start to work on that. So today I had an hour meeting with the legislative committee regarding for the Oregon Fire Chiefs and their lobbyist on exactly what is that we can move forward, that we can get some assistance from the EMS funding side and those types of things. So I just wanted to bring you up to speed and continue to meet. We have another one scheduled next week with, again, those nine other fire chiefs to have this conversation, further detailed conversation on what we talked about. We're all facing the same issues, low reimbursement rates, slow reimbursement rates. So slow that even, you know, currently the government shutdown is affecting our reimbursement on the Medicare and Medicaid side of things. So, you know, those are things that we're all facing. And we're still waiting to see what happens with Medicaid. Today we found out, in my meeting, I found out there's a rural transformation, EMS transformation bill, rural health transformation bill. Did I get that right? That's coming out to all the states, and it's millions of dollars over a course of several years. Today we found out that Oregon might not be receiving that, or the other states maybe.
It's because of the sanctuary,
because of the politics involved. So it's a problem. So the other thing that we're doing, the one thing that has happened is Cliff Bentz has voted in favor of that rural health transformation grant. And so we're going to be reaching out to him to try and drum up some version of support and see if we can get to make sure that that money does come. So, but we don't know. And so there's a big question mark about what's happening over the next, you know, 5 to 6 months. So just wanted to bring you up to speed on that. Really, that everything else we've kind of crossed through. Again, the crews are doing an amazing job. Calls just keep coming in. Things just keep happening. And we're on that razor's edge of just not being available because we're very busy. I can't thank them enough for everything that they're trying to do and the staff. That's all I have.
Okay. Any questions for Chief Blake? All right, citizen input. Do we have any citizen input? Okay, additional comments or announcements, board and the board? Okay, we're adjourned.
So, so is this $20 donation?
Well, it's a buy-in. Again, things are going to split the spot. Well, whoever wins gets half of the pot that gets donated. So no, we're not gonna on this one. So this one here, it'll be split.
And they can do their off, and then
because the bottom line is, yes, if you still want to go on the mask, if you want to help me do anything.
We're still on our fire. I just got home.